We've come to a very interesting and again instructional part of the 23rd Psalm because we've come to the fifth verse for tonight. And this fifth verse and the next one explodes with meaning to the born again person. Refresh our memory in verse 4, as they went up the shady side of a mountain going to the valley on the other side, as the sun, not necessarily setting, but was nevertheless in its downward movement, it would throw shadows on the side of the mountain they were traversing, a very narrow trail. And the shepherd who gave the description of this psalm pointed out that there would be sheep who didn't want to stay in the long, narrow line, and so they would try to get out around the others. And not uncommon that one would fall over the edge of the trail. Now, it wasn't a cliff in the sense of a sheer drop-off, but it was a steep drop-off. It was dangerous, and the shepherd, hearing the bleating of the other sheep, knew he had to go back, see what was happening, and putting himself in danger, would lower himself down over that side best as he could, putting that staff into the long wool and twist and turn and twist and turn. And when he had a good secure hold, then he'd pull that sheep up, lay it on its shoulder, on his shoulders, and proceed to lead the others. Now, when they got to the top of the mountain and looked down into the lush green valley, the shepherd didn't simply step aside and tell the sheep, okay, have at it, but he would lead them down, because as anyone who's done any amount of hiking knows, that there can be danger in going down, the same as there can be danger in trying to climb up. And so he would go before them holding his staff out, which was a symbol of authority. And they would not run before him. And it's so important that we do not run ahead of our Savior. When you're praying for something and you're not getting, you cannot detect that you're getting an answer, don't run ahead. If an answer is needed, I believe God will give an answer when it is absolutely needed by his knowledge of the situation. Now, we dare not procrastinate. We dare not put off what we can do, but nevertheless, to wait for the Lord's answer. So many times through life, it just seemed like the Lord wasn't answering, and I would help him out. I would rescue him in the situation. And, you know, it didn't always work out disastrously. But I've wondered how much of a better answer would he have had? How much of a better way than the way that I came up with? And so here we read in Psalm 23, verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Now, when the shepherd got the whole flock down, still have the wounded sheep on his shoulders, he would again go around and let the rest of the flock know where to lay down, where he wanted them to feed. Then he would take the wounded sheep, and he would walk about 25 feet away from the rest of the flock. According to this shepherd who gave the information, it's at that 25, maybe 30 feet away, that he would take the wounded sheep off of his shoulders and lay it on the grass. Now it says he prepares the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, there were no lions, wolves, or bears there, because if that were the case, the shepherd would have gotten all the sheep tightly around him so that he could protect them, and using that rod, which I showed you last week, big knobby end to it, is what he would use to ward off the predatory animals. And so they were eating where he had put them. 25, 30 feet away, he laid the wounded sheep down, and he prepared a table in the presence of his enemies. Now, I wondered, what does it mean, he prepared a table? Now, my wife prepares a table. We had some friends for lunch today, and she prepared a table. Now, that's not literally, you know, we had a wooden table then. But when we say she prepared a table, we mean she prepared the food that was set on it. So, just how is he using prepared a table? The shepherd said that the wounded sheep lying down in green grass where it could eat, in a space of about 18 to 25 feet, the shepherd would take his cloak and lay it on the back side, his rod on one side, his staff on another side, and then he, the shepherd, would lie on the remaining side. These are all instruments of authority. The cloak representing the shepherd of course himself, the staff and the rod. The other sheep would not cross those instruments. And so we have a table prepared in the presence of the enemy. Well, who's the enemy? Other sheep. I'm told that it is with sheep like it is with chickens, and I'm told it's so with chickens because I've never had sheep and I've never had chickens. But there are those animals that I know that when one is sick or wounded amongst them, the others will peck at it in the case of chicken. In the case of the other sheep, just be constantly butting it and nipping at it. And if left to survive on its own out in the flock, the wounded sheep wouldn't have made it. The others would have eaten the grass around it, and so it could have starved. And certainly if they are butting it and nipping at it, would just increase its wounds. And so the shepherd prepared a table in the presence of that sheep's enemies. Now, he says here, thou anointest my head with oil. The shepherd would carry an oil cruse, oil bottle. Now, not glass or plastic. Okay, it may have been made out of an animal skin, it may have been made out of clay. It was some object in which they would carry the oil. And to that wounded sheep that had gotten scratched and cut in the process of falling over the side of the trail, he would take the oil, pour it in the wounds, and rub it in. Clean the wound. Then oil had a medicinal effect to it. I could not find what kind of oil. Maybe olive oil. There may have been other oils that were used. That's not, like I say, I was not able to learn that. I don't doubt, but what there's, you could find that if you Googled enough, okay? But that's what he would do. He would anoint the sheep with oil. And in that process, he would be caring for that wounded sheep. So the table in the presence of the enemies, again you see the rod and the staff, which verse 4 tells us, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so not only in the valley of the shadow traversing that dangerous trail, but now in the presence of the other sheep, they are objects of comfort. And how much like sheep we believers are. Now that doesn't surprise us because God tells us that frequently. And how often we become the enemy of a wounded, fallen, backslidden brother or sister. One who has fallen by the wayside. How often do we tattle or gossip when another believer goes astray? That doesn't help. It doesn't help ourselves. And it doesn't help the wounded one. I guess I could say when we do that sort of thing, all we do is show our own self-righteousness. What a refuge our shepherd's table becomes. I'm going to turn to Psalm 27, just back a few psalms. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord. This is what he's confident about. The one thing he's desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now listen, whatever you meet in life, do what the psalmist says. And this is listed as a psalm of David. David had his troubles. His own son tried to kill him. He had people in his administration who tried to do him in. Okay? He just, at one time, the people rose up and shouted his praise, and the next time they were ready to shout for his head. But he said, one thing that I will seek after all the days of my life. There sits Paul Gordon. There sits Dick and Bev. Okay? Now I refer to them because they are the elders of Black Creek Baptist Church. Whatever they may have been or not been, I wasn't around to know. Okay? One thing, they sought to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
They were faithful. Now, you know, some skeptical Christian will say, oh, well, yeah, but why were they there? I don't know, but they were there.
Amen.
Okay? That's a whole lot better than being at home.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, when things got hard and rough, I have no doubt but what there were times that they felt like being home.
Yeah.
Now we got the next generation coming along. We have Jim Wilcox there, Pat Hain over there. We got the Vadises here. They thought they'd escape it. Oh, yeah, I guess we can throw in the Asquiths to that. Okay, now we need, you know. But do you notice what it says? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, comma, to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's why we come to church. To see the beauty of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm not always in a frame of mind to be searching for the beauty of the Lord. And I don't feel guilty for the times. I would like it to be different. But I don't feel guilty for the times that I come because it's the right thing to do to come.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. Yes, sir.
There's enough times when I'd really rather be home.
That's good. Yeah.
Yep. Not, please, don't think every other Sunday I don't want to be here, but I'm here because I have to be. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you ever feel like there's times where you come, but, you know, really your heart's not here with it, come anyway.
That's right.
Because it's when you're in the house of the Lord that the Spirit of God can speak to your heart. Through a song, maybe. Through the words of an announcement. You've probably noticed that I'm big on announcements. I used to get harassed mercilessly at Grace Bible for the announcement time. To me, that was exciting. That meant things were happening.
Yeah, that's right.
And I wanted to promote them because I wanted everybody to come. And if I just assumed the faithful ones would be there, I always felt if I could encourage one more person to come to something, it was worth
that's
it.
Right. Yes, sir.
And besides that, we're talking in announcements about the work of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, we can get so self-righteously pious. Well, we don't read announcements. We just come and sit to worship the Lord. How do we do that? Okay? Worship is an action, not an emotion. It's an action. It's an attitude that is expressed from where in our life? From the heart. Proverbs 4 and 23. I'm drawing a blank in the beginning of it. Proverbs 4 and 23. People are searching for it. As soon as I hear the beginning of it, I'll know the rest of it. It's about the heart and diligently.
Thy heart with all diligence.
Yeah. Search thy heart with. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are what? The issues of life.
Yes, sir.
And the very action of coming tonight and being here tonight is an action of keeping your heart.
Yes, sir.
And I believe that's true even when we don't necessarily feel like it. If we only ever did what we feel like, well, let me tell you this. You don't do that with the job for your employment. Because if you did that with a job for employment, you wouldn't have a job very long.
Yeah.
You do it because it's the right thing to do. So we're here tonight. And so he goes on and he says to inquire in his temple, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. Now that fifth verse follows the fourth. Isn't that amazing how that works? Verse 5 comes after verse 4. Come on, folks, you're missing the humor there.
Yeah.
For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. And he says all of that's going to happen when one thing that he's desired is to dwell in the house of the Lord.
You got it.
God will do something for you. God will work in ways that you may not be aware he's working. When you're putting the Lord first. Seek the Lord first and his righteousness. Well, how do we do that? Well, whatever would be second, we keep it second. Okay? Now, being at home, sitting on the comfortable sofa, having a cold drink on the table next to the sofa. You gather, I'm describing my house, huh? having a little piece of furniture up here where you can set the bowl of ice cream. Okay? That's all good. But it can't become first.
Amen.
The first thing is to seek after the Lord. And he shall hide me, he shall set me upon a rock. Everything just seems to be so shaky in my life and I just can't seem to keep anything together. One of the promises of God is that when we put him first and we are faithful to his house, that he is, and we desire to have him at first in our life, that he is going to keep us on a solid foundation. Now mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Those few times, maybe fewer than I'd like it to be, those few times when I come just because it's the right thing to do to come, you get here and you start singing a song. Jen, do you have voice problems tonight? Uh-huh. I didn't hear it from this section.
Yeah.
And I noted that because Jen's one of our singers and I wasn't hearing her. And I looked over there and I saw she wasn't singing. But when you're sitting there, you're singing and you sing through a song and there's some words that speak to what I needed. So you see, the Lord can speak to our heart. And I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Well, I don't feel like singing. Well, sing anyway. It may not be as exuberantly, It may not be as loud as usual, but sing anyway, okay? Okay, the volume's only a 3 when you usually have a 6. Or if the volume's only a 5 when you usually have a 10. Whatever, okay? But sing anyway. Well, I'm not much of a singer. Nobody's going to notice. When everybody else is singing, they're not going to notice you're singing. You say, well, I don't have much of a voice. I'm not going to say, well, just sing anyway, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Because I don't think when it says make a joyful noise to the Lord, it means any old noise. I think it means to sing from the heart. And the use of that word noise is different than what we typically, you know, use the word noise for. So sing, 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 my friends. And such portions of scripture like Psalm 27, let me move on here now. Psalm 23, verse 5 says, my cup runneth over. In this pasture, the shepherd did not have to dig a little trench, you know, off of the bubbly brook. But in this particular pasture, there was a spring. And next to the spring was a large cup. Oh, it wasn't a tin cup or even a wooden cup. It was about 18 by 18 inches by 30 inches long. And it's, you can see pictures of these if you indeed do go online and look for information on it. It's called a sheep's cup. And next to the spring often sat a container. And so from the spring, the shepherd would get water, or in some cases it may have been a well, but he would get water, put it into the stone cup. The sheep would drink from that. When it got empty, he'd get more water and he'd put it in there. And so it is that our shepherd keeps our cup full. And he says, running over. Remember to the woman at the well, he said that she could drink of living water, fresh and eternal, and never thirst again? Mm-hmm. That's because our shepherd gives us what it is that we have need of. As a matter of fact, Psalm 68, verse 19, and I'll close with this, says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He just keeps pouring fresh water into our lives. Just about the time we think we're dry and can't go on anymore, he just keeps on giving. There's a gospel song to that effect. You remember that one, Mama? He just keeps on giving. Oh boy, I can hear that tune in my head, but not enough to even begin to try to sing it, and so we'll just leave it at that. All right.